I'm Mark Bayshore. Glad you could join us today. It's still obviously too cold for spring planting, but the legislative issues Michigan farmers care about most are heating up again. Yesterday, dozens of crop producers from across the state met here in Lansing for the annual Lansing Legislative Seminar sponsored by the Michigan Farm Bureau. Farmers met in conference sessions to talk about a number of current issues, and many had a chance to speak one-on-one with their local lawmakers. Current State's Kevin Lavery caught up with a few farmers to hear what's on their minds. Kevin, does any single issue stand out among farmers this year?
Indeed, Mark, and you don't have to be a roads scholar to guess the one I'm talking about. The road funding proposal up for a vote in May is top of mind for many people, not just farmers, and we'll get to that issue in just a moment. But as you might imagine, farmers do have a lot to say about other issues, many of which revolve around things like biofuel and water use. I met three men who farm along essentially a three-county strip in southern Michigan, and I'll let them introduce themselves one at a time.
Jay Williams. I'm the Hillsdale County Farm Bureau President. Our farm operation is on the Hillsdale and Lenawee County border, about approximately a mile from Ohio.
And how many acres do you farm?
We farm about 1,270 acres of corn, soybeans, and wheat.
So you know something about ethanol, which of course is tied to fuel prices. We're seeing some of the biggest drops in gasoline prices in about 6.5 years or so. Some people have said that the market may have bottomed out. What does that mean for ethanol production in Michigan?
Well, certainly, ethanol production has become well established now in the state of Michigan. It may be a little more difficult when oil prices are lower. However, the ethanol industry is healthy and has been a good benefit to those of us in agriculture.
Are we one of the larger ethanol producers? Certainly we're not Iowa or Illinois, and we do have an infrastructure in Michigan where biofuel research is very big here.
That's right, and I think we've been a leader in the industry. Obviously, like you said, we don't have the corn production here that some of those other states, the I states, do. But we certainly have been a leader in that, and we're aggressive in getting into the biofuels market.
From your perspective, Jay, what would you want your lawmakers to pay attention to, particularly this legislative cycle, with regards to biofuel or production or whatever really is pressing for you this time of the year?
Sure. You know, I think largely the biggest part of the issue revolves around not only things here in the state of Michigan, but also in Washington, D.C. Policy at the state and national level encourages industries to grow and expand. In this case, we've encouraged this industry to be located in our country, use a resource that's here. Now is not the time to back away through legislation or other means from an industry that you've nurtured to be developed within our country. There is some talk in D.C. especially as far as changing the renewable fuel standards. In my opinion, that's the wrong direction to go when you've attracted capital to an industry to try to undercut it by changing those standards. It was very short-sighted.
Are you keeping an eye on the Keystone XL pipeline and President Obama's veto recently?
I think the whole nation has been interested to follow that with obviously differing opinions, but anything we can do to ensure our energy security, whether it be biofuels or a pipeline such as that, anything we can do to bring that security to our nation is a benefit not only from an economic standpoint, but also from a national security standpoint.
Larry Walton, and I'm the owner of Walton Farms in Sturgis, Michigan.
That's in St. Joseph County.
Yes, that's right.
We are surrounded by some of the largest freshwater bodies on Earth, yet water is always very central to farming. Do we have significant water use or water access issues or problems in Michigan? Perhaps not like out west, but what's our share of the issue?
I think our biggest share is just being able to, I'll use the term legislatively, get access. There are people such as myself that have been what they would say grandfathered in a number of years ago. Although as our operation continues to grow and we require additional water for the acres that we either rent or purchase, we follow the assessment tool that the state has prescribed to try and get access to that water. And as more and more demand is put on that system, it becomes more and more difficult to get approval from the state to be able to have a withdrawal. It's not impossible, but it has in our area become quite cumbersome. We are the largest irrigated county east of the Mississippi River, and we are also the most drought-prone county east of the Mississippi River. So those two issues kind of run hand in hand. We do have some very large industrial seed facilities that are in the area, and so one hand kind of washes the other, but it's made it's made business in our part of the state very good from a labor or from an employer employee standpoint, as well as from a producer standpoint.
That's fascinating, Larry. Most irrigated county and most drought-prone county in the eastern United States.
Yes, that's correct.
How do you know that?
Well, statistically, there's a gentleman that we've worked with since I was a young boy that kind of grandfathered irrigation in our area. And it is, so they get that information through National Ag Statistics, and then we have learned about the drought portion of that through the Meteorological Society and rainfall records.
Wow. Almost a year ago, the EPA proposed a part of a new amendment to the Clean Water Act that would increase its jurisdiction to all sorts of bodies of water, everything from puddles and ditches to drainage culverts. How much have you studied that particular aspect? Would that really hit you directly?
I think it's a bit overreaching, simply because while we don't mind being monitored, to have Big Brother, so to speak, looking over your shoulder all the time does get a little difficult. We have places where we're pulling surface water, and so those kinds of rules would impact us. We're doing our best if we're irrigating, let's say, from a pond, and I'm going to use that for my example. The whole area around there is buffered, so we have almost zero risk of having any contamination of that water. If we have areas on some of our farms that are tiled and we have tile drainage, it's the same idea. We participate in a lot of federal conservation programs. And one of the reasons that we're able to participate is almost every piece of land that I farm has water on it or near it in some fashion. And so in our operation, we really have to be cognizant that we're doing our due diligence to not risk contamination of that water.
My name is Brian Preston. I'm a dairy farmer. Our farm is in Quincy in Branch County.
Far and away, the biggest issue on the table right now in 2015 for farmers is the road funding proposal. If it's passed in May, it would raise the sales tax from 6% to 7%. It would generate more revenue, certainly, to fix the roads. How crucial are good roads to the dairy industry, in your situation in particular?
Mm-hmm. Roads are one of the key infrastructure supports to our business. We have to buy a lot of feed. We bring in, there's normally about 6 semi-loads of feed every week that come in, and then every day we send out a semi-load of milk from our farm. So it's important that we can move our products in that we purchase and move the products out that we sell too.
Have you ever had serious delays or stoppages because the roads were in such poor condition you just could not conduct commerce in the manner that you're supposed to?
Our product is so perishable that it has to move every day, regardless of the conditions. If we have to slow down, if we have to go around, take a different route, and feeding the cows on our farm is a big responsibility. Those cows are going to be fed the proper feed every day as part of the care that we give to them. And so we have delivery requirements from our truckers. So no, we have not had a delay, but we have had many times when we've taken alternate routes to be able to access better roads where we can get through.
What do you think of this proposal? Certainly it's not a perfect solution. I think people have been cautious to stress that, both mm-hmm. in and outside the dome. Mm-hmm. Does it seem like a workable plan as far as you're concerned?
Well, this morning we heard from a lot of the leadership in the legislature and then also the governor's office. The governor made a point to stress that it's a safety issue here in this state. There's no doubt it is. And then some of the legislative leadership made the point that let's not let perfect be the enemy of good. And while it's not the perfect program, just like you said, it is a workable solution that we all need to rally around and get behind.
If this proposal does not pass, I mean, there's a lot of contentious feelings still floating around out there, and the roads are not fixed, or at least a solution to fix the roads is not brought forward this year, what could that mean for you long-term as a dairyman?
I don't really want to think about that. Another point they brought out this morning is that there's no plan B right now. We need to all get behind this program, this proposal, and back it. If it doesn't happen, then we'll come back to the table and we'll come up with a solution, because that's what we do in this state, is we solve problems. but it's not fun to think about what the long-term future would be without the infrastructure that we need to do business.
Current State's Kevin Lavery there reporting from the Michigan Farm Bureau's legislative seminar yesterday in Lansing.